You're listening to Broad Topics with your hosts, Laura, Joan, Kelly, and Jillian, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, Ando.
Welcome to the show. Ando. Thanks for calling in and letting us grill you a little bit.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Thank you so much.
So you are, tell us just a little bit about what you do.
I guess I'm titled a self-defense expert. Oh, that sounds a bit much.
Sounds
got into
awesome.
Martial arts about 20 years ago. Found it very humbling. I don't know exactly why I got into it, but that sensation of being knocked down and humbled off my arrogant horse was a good experience. And slowly built my way back up into a place of feeling some kind of empowerment. And ever since then, it's just been about trying to share that with other people, whether through the self-defense workshops, or now I'm working with Von Barnes Karate Kids and passing on to children of all ages. It's very rewarding.
Now, how did you get interested in working with women in self-defense?
Like I said, and that's sort of where the need was. Most guys don't walk around admitting that they have any flaws or vulnerabilities of any kind.
What?
So.
This is new information.
Yeah.
And then certainly martial art classes, I mean, the women were always sort of, sometimes the guys, you kind of look down on having to work with a woman, like, oh, brother, now I got to slow down or take it easy. And you didn't run into many women, actually, in a lot of martial art dojos. They would always be in, like, the fitness classes and kick aerobics, that kind of thing, but never in the actual, nose-to-nose self-defense stuff. And I thought that was really peculiar because, all you hear about in the news are all these things about, oh, women are being victimized here and attacked there. I realized, gee, there's a need for this kind of stuff. And there's some great organizations out there, and I just sort of said, hey, how can I help? What can I do? And, of course, it's great for my own training, selfishly, because you get to really, I have to say that when you work out with women, once you, give them that permission to say, you know what, this is okay, I want you to come at me with all your power, and you just, oh, my God, they really come at you full force and just recklessly, and it really keeps me on my toes, so it's good for my own personal training and emotional issues as well, so. There's something in it for both sides, I think.
Yeah, you should know women can really kick ass.
They sure can. I have a lot of respect for the power of women, for sure.
I like you.
I think it's a mental block a little bit. Women have this idea because we are told that we are weaker or whatever and so with that in their head, feel like they don't have the strength to fight back or that, I don't, but other women do. But I think that a lot, we're told that constantly, and the women who listen to it and believe it have a harder time. You have to coach them into coming at you, right, Ando? It takes them a minute.
Absolutely. Yeah, you hit it right on the head there. Social conditioning is such that there's just sort of that women are supposed to be nurturing, putting other people's needs before their own, not making a scene, not making other people feel uncomfortable, and then coming to actual physicality of self-defense, that you're weaker, somehow incapable, or that they're, have to be rescued by a prince, all these kinds of things. Yeah, it's really kind of depressing.
Welcome to being a woman.
But I think it's great that you, as a guy's voice, can see the opposite of that and hopefully let women see that they can have all of it, like a man can be nurturing. A guy can be nurturing, and sometimes a guy doesn't get told that they can be that. It goes both ways.
Oh, that's absolutely true, yeah. And, of course, the stereotypes work both ways, absolutely. There are plenty of competent and strong and powerful women, and there are plenty of guys who you wouldn't want on your side in a fight because they would just curl up and cry. So
how do you feel what are sort of any statistics out there about women being attacked? What are the odds against us out there?
Well, really reliable statistics are kind of hard to find because traditionally they say in statistic pooling places that especially sexual crimes are wildly unreported. People don't come forward. They don't go to the hospital. They don't turn them into the police. So it's always kind of guesstimations. They're the best statistics we have. They would say, like, if you look on the most recent sites, like the Department of Justice and all that kind of stuff, maybe like 1 in 6 of being assaulted. But again, how you define an assault varies from one company to another. So really the bigger point is it doesn't matter if it's 1 out of 3 or 1 out of 10 or 1 in 1,000,000. If you're that one person, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to get hung up on the numbers. Although I would say that there are a lot of disreputable types out there who try to scare women into taking self-defense courses of one kind or another. Like, say, oh, yeah, 1 out of 3 women are going to be attacked. You should live in fear, and this is going to happen to you. And I think that's a bit overblown, especially since, statistically speaking, you're far more endangered by people that you already know, your friends, your partners, people that you've already included in your circle of trust, than some stranger in an alley who's waiting to jump out on you. So this whole idea of stranger danger kind of skews the reality, which is, you know, your best defense really is just how you screen the people who are coming into your life. And that means with your partners, your friends, your babysitters, your gardener, your whomever you come into that you trust.
Wow. So is this stuff you teach as well as the physical defense? You teach them this sort of stuff in your classes?
Well, the truth, yeah, absolutely. The truth is that self-defense, I mean, obviously it's a nice quick shortcut kind of remedy to say, oh, well, it's all about just learning to, you know, kick someone in the groin and punch them in the nose. But that you should never have to be get to that situation. That is at the absolute end of the spectrum of self-defense strategies. It's really about prevention. And that's about how you talk to people, how you carry yourself, what boundaries you set with the people in your life. That is the kind of thing that will avoid any kind of physical conflict. The physical stuff, frankly, is easy. I mean, we all have bodies. We all know what you hit to hurt what and what's powerful and elbows strong and knee is strong. We know all that stuff. We see it enough. It's just kind of common sense. The hard part, especially for women, or maybe I should just say nice people, is giving yourself that permission emotionally to cause harm to another human being, even when they're hurting you. So many people just have a hard time with that. They don't want to go there. And I think that is the number one thing that you should be practicing. And fortunately, that's something you can practice every single day. You're not going to have the opportunity to punch someone in the nose every day.
Darn it.
But you can. Well, at least without going to jail, you can't do
Well, I could wear a bikini down that dark alley, get somebody to come at me, and then I can punch them.
That'll
work.
Interesting. That's a great strategy.
Yeah.
Let me know how that works out.
Yeah, I will. Let you know.
But again, it's just the things that you can practice every day are the more important things. So that's paying attention. That's defining your boundaries to people. That's probably the number one thing. Because in most cases, criminals don't just pick people randomly. There's the selection process. They practice this. They planned for it. So the more that you're aware of that and you start planning for your own self-defense strategies, then the safer you're going to be. It's really about the prevention, not about the gouging of eyes.
So say that you're a woman walking in a dark parking lot at night. What kind of preventative advice would you give her?
Well, again, this is I probably will say nothing that would surprise you. This is the same kind of common sense that you know you would think you're going to talk about, you know, parking near lights, parking near the building, having a friend to accompany you to the car, looking in your back seat, checking the area around and making sure you're not parked to a van. I mean, there's a whole list of these kinds of things, which I think we would all recognize. But rather than give you an exhaustive list of that kind of stuff or trying to cover every situation and every context, I think it's just a lot easier just to go to the bottom line, which is listening to your inner voice. Your gut will tell you when something is wrong. And so long as you are clear-headed enough to hear that voice, you will then be able to make a decision to take action, follow through, and put yourself in a safer position. So I think that is the key thing, no matter what context you want to throw, whether it's an alley or a dark parking lot or a mall or a party or whatever you want to call it, on an airplane. You know, when that little bell goes off in your head and you say, there's something wrong here, there's something about this guy, the way he's moving, the way he's looking at me, the way he's talking, something is wrong here.
Wow.
But you have to have some sort of semblance of sanity in that, not, you know, because some people go overboard with that and they're always suspicious, always paranoid. You know, you come out of a class like this and everywhere you look, you're seeing all the warnings, you know, when really it's like, how do you keep that balance, you know, instead of it being on your brain all the time of I'm going to be attacked. Look for the warning.
That's a great question. The real secret, again, is this is something that we should practice every day. So that you're able to tell the difference between your true inner voice, that little voice that has your best interests at heart, that wants to survive, versus voices like ego or prejudice or some kind of social stereotyping that gives you bad information. For instance, like, you know, most people would consider, you know, if you're a white person, most people would think, oh, well, someone from a different race is going to pull a knife on me. It's going to be in an alley. I'm not going to know them. And all of that's not true. So if that's the kind of little voice that you hear in your head because you see someone of a different race coming down your side of the street and you figure, oh, well, this is trouble, well, then you should, you know the statistics and say, well, most of the time, like 88-90% of the time, it's going to be someone of your own race. It's going to be somebody you know. Most of the time, 90% of the time, there's not going to be a weapon involved. It's going to be some place that you feel safe, your home, their home, some someplace you've already said, yeah, I'm okay, I can let my guard down here. So just that information alone should start squashing out that little voice that's wrong. Of course, staying sober, staying off drugs so that you can hear that voice, so you're not deceived in any way.
You're such a buzzkill.
And come on.
And sorry. But again, I mean, I'm not, no matter what we do, you're never going to be 100% safe. So it's always just about weighing risks and when do you want to take a risk and when do you not. That's what it's all about. I'm certainly not a paranoid person, but the more information you have and the better you plan for these types of things, actually you find a peace of mind because you know you've done everything you can do up to a certain level. You're never going to be totally prepared. But once you feel that you've done everything you can, then actually you kind of relax. You just kind of, you're very peaceful about the whole subject because you know you're prepared for whatever's going to come, whether you're going to win or lose, who knows. But you're prepared for it. It's only when you're not prepared that you actually still have fear about all of these things. Once you get into it, you practice it, and you visualize this stuff, the fear goes away, and you just kind of live your life. So actually, it's the opposite. The more you look into this stuff, the less paranoid you get because you kind of you narrow it down to what the real threats are, and you trust yourself to act in a way that's going to be in your best interest.
So say, Andrew, that we do all of those things and we, look for danger and we're preventative, but we do find ourselves in a situation where we are in physical danger. What would you suggest, if you could summarize a couple of quick things that we would look for first, what would that be?
Sure. Okay. So the first thing you should always remember that it's, again, that little voice is going to tell you what to do. There are times when your voice will say, fight this guy. I really feel like he's going to kill me. I need to fight this guy. There'll be other times when you say, you know what? I think I'm just going to get hurt here. I'm just going to, give him whether it's a mugging or depending what the situation is, and let them have what they want. Because your intuition is telling you this is the better strategy at this point. You can always change the strategy later, but at that moment you may make the decision not to fight.
Right. Sometimes that giving up your purse is worth saving your life if you feel that's the case.
Sure. That's where ego might be the wrong voice. If your ego says, well, don't you know who I am? How dare you? I'm not going to give you my purse. Your priorities are out of whack. So that's why that's something we have to rehearse every day and break those bad habits so that we do feel okay, hurting someone or making a scene. Because, again, most predators, most bad guys, plan what they do. They know, they count on you being unprepared. They count on you being in shock because then you're frozen. You're not making any decisions. And then they've got this window of opportunity to do whatever they want. And by the time you realize, hey, I should do something, it's usually over. And that's what they count on. So again, the more you can be ready for that by visualizing and thinking about it, preparing for it, reading up a little bit here and there, the better your odds are because you can move from fear to action sooner. The only difference really between people who are trained in self-defense and people who aren't is we have probably a shorter period of time before we can get to a state of mind where we can start taking action and making decisions on our own. We all get scared. I mean, if somebody came running into the door right now with a knife, that I would definitely move through a phase of fear first. But hopefully I could get to that state of, okay, calm down here. Let me assess the situation. What's my little voice telling me to do? And let me follow through on that plan. Whereas somebody who doesn't have training, they might just be so freaked out by that knife that it takes them a couple of minutes to break out of that shock. And by that time, maybe they're already in trouble, in worse trouble. They're tied up or they're beaten or they're robbed or whatever the case may be. So it's really about just about confronting these things so you feel more comfortable about them so that you can be in a situation where you can make a good decision and follow through on it.
And at what point in your class do you teach people how to kill other people? When do we do the Navy SEAL training? Tell me.
She watched G.I. Jane.
That's the number one thing. As soon as they walk in the door, we tell them how to kill people.
That's right.
Get that out of
that's
the way.
That's what I thought.
Then we can get to the real stuff.
Let's get to the psychological afterwards. Let's just get to the point. When do I don the leather and pack the heat?
I mean, you guys are all smart. I've heard your show before. You could all figure out how to kill somebody pretty easy. You don't need me to tell you how to kill somebody. That's easy. Anybody can just take a sharp instrument and plunge it into someone's eye or their heart or their neck, and that's it. So that's not the hard part. The hard part is, well, what would have to happen to you before you would give yourself permission to do something like
that's
and not feel like a terrible person for having done it?
And maybe still anyway afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would feel bad.
Yeah. In most cases, for nice people, and I don't think self-defense is just a woman's issue. Technically speaking, statistically, more men are victims of violent crime than women are, usually, by a lot. But the challenge for nice people is if you saw a child, if you have a child, that instinct to kill someone who's a danger to your child or someone else's child or someone you love is right there. That feeling in your chest just turns right on, like, wow, you're dead, buddy.
Oh,
get your hands off my
chest. Absolutely. I have a son, and if anyone came near him, I would mama cub all over his ass.
There you go. Absolutely. Mama cub, mama bear, that's it.
Mama cub.
But for most people, doing that for themselves is a completely different project. They will let themselves be abused in all kinds of ways that they would never let for people next to them that they love. And so the real key here is to recognize that you have an inner child inside of yourself. I'm sorry if that sounds a little sappy, but it's true.
I love my inner child. I feed my inner child Snickers all the time.
Your inner child is morbidly obese.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But give yourself the permission to protect that inner child as much as you would an actual child outside of yourself. If you can do that, then you usually will make the right decision, because that instinct is built into your cells. You want to survive on a cellular level. So once you give yourself that permission to make safety your first priority and listen to that little voice, and if it tells you it's time to throw down, then you do it. And if that little voice tells you this is not a good situation, run, then you should run. That little voice has your best interest at heart, so it's important that we listen to it.
And thank you so much for calling in and sharing your advice. I think you gave sort of a new perspective. I think something that people don't think about a lot when they think of women's self-defense. So thank you so much for sharing that with us and for letting us bug you all this time.
Not at all. Very much. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much. I love the show. Thanks. Keep it up.
Thanks, you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.